Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Actually, Mark Holland sitting in the chair for Lynette this week. She's taking some time off with a big family reunion, I think in Cannon Beach, so good on her. She'll be back next week. In studio today, we do have Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and also special guest Dr. Brazel, Christine Brazel. Which office are you with, Dr. Brazel?
Hi, Mark. I'm over in the Kirkland office. I've been there.
She's in my Kirkland office.
I'm over in Kirkland with Samira and also Dr. Pentland, our other staff physician there, and then our wonderful esthetician team, and we have great staff.
That's right. She's in the best office possible.
Oh, okay. I think that Tacoma and Linwood will argue with you about that.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. They have to prove themselves. Everybody has to prove themselves.
I say, all right.
And we have a great team, and I love our team. I love the Kirkland office. And Dr. Brazel has been a part of our team for a few years now, and Dr. Pentland joined us sometime after her. And then he will be joining us on the show next weekend.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. And you guys are moving here pretty soon, too. Is that right?
Or I think we are.
I think we are. We talked about it a little earlier.
Out of Kirkland office. Right. We hope we're moving in.
I don't know where we're going. But
what we have been told is that we – our lease expired in the current place. I didn't renew it because I'm building this new space upstairs. And we were supposed to actually be in the new space upstairs 10 months ago. Mm. But we had some permitting issues with the city. For some reason, with COVID, they didn't want to go to work. So the permitting people just kind of, I think, sat on their duffs. But finally, we got the city's permission to actually build stuff. And we got the old tenants out, and we're hopefully going to be in there, what is it, the 20-something of September?
I'm now scared of saying the dates, Jerry. Well, by the end of September. So in the clinics, we do have the dates. They are tentative right now, as what I just learned.
Well, we quote, finalized the dates, but then this week we found out there are some electrical issues. Because all of our big high-powered lasers we've got for Bellamedica draw so much power. And there are other high power users in the building. Mm. And so if we turned everything on at once, it would exceed the rating for the building. So they're having to put in transformers and stuff.
Right. But I think what I'm hearing you say is that we'll still be able to move in. We might not be able to use all the lasers at the same time.
That's right.
Which is fair. You know, there are other things the girls will probably be happy to do. And they're not using all the lasers all the time anyway.
That's right. No,
so,
as long as they're only using a couple of them at a time, we're fine. But
well, we only have a couple of master aestheticians. But you're right. We have other devices.
And we've got our third one who's coming back
next month.
Next, which is when we will be moving in.
That's right.
So,
which is when we will be moving
in. She's been off. She had a baby, a cute little baby.
Oh my gosh, he's adorable.
And they took pictures of me holding yesterday.
I absolutely insisted that Dr. Mixon hold that baby and we take a picture. So
that's
we have it on record now.
And it went to my wife, and her question was, and which of your women had this baby? And I said, honey, this is yours. Don't you remember? Talk about baby brain. So.
Oh, God, Jerry. Okay. Well, Beth, it was very nice to see you. If you're listening on the show, your baby's absolutely adorable. You look great. And we hope you're resting and taking good care of yourself, because we're really looking forward to having you back
and putting you to work
once your maternity leave is over. But yes, I held that baby. Oh my gosh, he is adorable.
Yeah.
Absolutely adorable. So God bless you both and all of your family.
11 years since I got to hold a little baby.
See, I insisted on it, and I know it did good for you.
I'm a natural daddy. I've been a daddy many times, and I adore holding babies.
And actually, to your credit, you did not say boo. You were like, okay, I can do this. I've done this before. And he looked absolutely
wonderful. You've delivered one or two in your life.
I've delivered hundreds of them. You know, that was one of the joys of being a country doctor. I got to be the first person to hold hundreds of brand new people on this planet until I could pass them to their mothers. Mm-hmm. But I was the first one to touch them.
Aww.
And it was a delight. And so,
you know, now, of course, as you birth the baby first goes on mom's chest.
Yes.
So they're, you know, saying that the bonding has to be immediate. So even before they cut the cord, the baby is put on mommy's chest, and then they cut the cord and do the rest. And then the nurse takes the baby away to do her checks.
That's right.
It's a little different from when you and I delivered kids.
That's right, yeah. Although, you know, Ivory, my youngest, my little Chinese wife and her little Chinese pelvis, you know, she's got a butt like a 14-year-old boy, so it's my big baby coming through her tiny little body was not going to fit. So we had to schedule a C-section to, you know, to get this child out. I mean, 8 pounds, 15 ounces, you know, wasn't going to go. So, but I scrubbed in and had our gynecologist do the delivery, but as soon as the cord was passed, he passed it off to me. And
aww.
I carried my new daughter up and laid it on my wife's breast.
You have bragging rights.
That's right. So yes, so she got to nurse the baby in the delivery room or in the operating room. So yeah, so that was my last. Of course, I still remember when my first marriage and I was in a small town and delivering babies and my wife was pregnant again. I was married to a woman who loved being pregnant. She really did. She every time we had a baby within weeks, she was planning the next one. And so, yes, so she loved being pregnant and I loved sex. And that was a high fertility rate sort of relationship. But I do remember that I was standing out of the scrub sink. She was in labor and I was washing my hands. And she said, "Tell that ass to get his butt in here and deliver this baby." So I rushed in and delivered the baby because, you know, that was her seventh or so. Yeah, it didn't take long.
Yeah, well.
She was designed for having babies.
Uh-huh.
Our first child was 9 pounds, 3 ounces.
Holy moly.
In a woman that had never had a baby.
Wow.
And the entire labor and delivery was an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
First contraction to delivery, 1 hour and 20 minutes with a 9 pound, 3 ounce baby.
Wow. So that's incredible.
She was made for having babies.
Wow. That is just incredible.
Yeah. Bending, not so much.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to get some calls in here. 206-644-6006. That's the number to call with your health questions for the doctors, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and Dr. Brazel today. 206-644-6006. So what other health stories do we have today? We didn't talk about babies before, but what else?
Yeah, well, it is a longevity, so we do the spectrum.
Okay.
You're somewhere on the spectrum, birth to death. We'd like to get you when you're closer to the death side, but we want to keep you from actually getting there as long as possible. I want you as strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and happy as possible as long as possible.
I think earlier in the program, at 8 this morning, Dr. Mixon was talking about the new DNA methylation test that we're looking at getting in for the patient evaluation.
We signed the contract. We've agreed to do the first 100 and some And so
that's right.
And actually, I had agreed to over the 200, but then Samara cut that down to 100 and got the same price. So good for her.
Nice. Well done.
Well done.
Yes.
But yeah, we, you know, your genetic material, your DNA, this is what tells you to be you. And it starts off in fine fettle, but as you age, high blood sugars, free radicals, radiation damage, just bad luck. There's progressive methylation of your DNA. And there are now nomograms that say when you're this old, you should have this degree of methylation. And if you're this old, you should have that degree. And it's basically being now used by many people as kind of a biological clock to say, how well is your body aging by actually looking at your genetic material to see how badly it's been damaged through the decades. And so this is one of those things we are adding to our repertoire that all of our patients now in the future that come in will get their DNA actually evaluated for the wear and tear of living. Mm. And we can tell them, you know, with your lifestyle up until the time you became a patient, here is how fast you are aging compared to the general population. Mm. And then we can get them on the program and show them then, have we slowed it down or not? Have we slowed that aging process and gotten you better than you would otherwise be? And it's one of those things that at some point here this fall, probably I'm going to guess about October, mm-hmm. we're going to do a special like we did with the gallery test mm-hmm. and invite all of our listeners to come get their DNA measured to see how well they are treating themselves and life is treating them as the decades have passed.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be kind of fun.
One of the things I experience in clinic, because of course I have these patients who are 80 who feel like they're 60, and maybe this test will show that they are chronologically closer to 60 than 80 from all of the things we've been doing for
them.
That's
right.
Well, that would be biologically. Chronologically is how long you live.
Oh, chronically. Well, finding out how old their insides are compared to just their birth date. But one of the biggest complaints I've been hearing from my patients in their 80s is they're kicking along, doing their stuff, and their friends can't keep up anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's not a problem if you're the person who's doing their things. It's finding people who can keep up with you.
Sure.
You know,
and whether it's going out to play a full day of golf or anything that you want to do, but as people get older, their friends start to fall away.
Mm-hmm.
And then they look at you going, well, what are you doing? Like, well, I go to longevity. This is my doctor. Maybe you could go see her. And that's great. Mm-hmm. But at 85, you wish you had started at 60 and kept staying closer to 60 than waiting to 85 to try to wind back time.
Well, you saw my fat pictures at 50.
Yeah, you weren't that fat.
I have lost 58. I'm 58 pounds lighter now than I was at 50.
Wow. Mm.
58 pounds.
And it's a great photo.
It's a good photo. But, you know, I was 6'4". And so, you know, but I was 248 pounds and now I'm 190 pounds.
Wow.
You know, and my muscle mass is considerably higher now than it was when I was 58 pounds lighter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a big difference.
Okay, we need to take a quick break, and we need some calls. We'll get to Glenn and Tenino after the break, but there's still some lines open for you. Call right now with your question, 206-644-6006, 206-644-6006. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic.
If the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball in mind. With a 9-foot grin, a 10-piece band, and a 12-through-4 slide. I'd raise some loot in a 3-piece.
And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and Dr. Brazel standing by to take your call, actually sitting at the moment. I thought you guys would be dancing during that song.
I know.
Dancing in your chair.
That's when I got coffee inside.
Hey, the number to call is 206-644-6006. We do have Glenn from Tenino has a question for the doctors. Glenn, what is your question today?
Hello, Glenn.
Good morning. Been listening to you all day. I was out stacking and splitting firewood. But
right.
When you were on the other station, a guy called in about diarrhea. And
yes.
I had a real issue with that here a while back, and I found out that if I eat just a little bit of cheese in the morning before I have my coffee and vitamins or anything else, it totally cured it.
We're good.
Cheese.
Okay.
Yeah, just a couple of slices worth. And I was going to ask you, I was watching a show this week, and they were talking about women who are playing the field until they're almost past their prime, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And they finally run into the right guy, and they'd like to have kids, and they can't because they're now, what, heading towards 40 or something?
Right.
And I was curious. You said in the past that you can actually reverse a woman's hormone level back,
yep.
and that you can actually make them start having their period again. Well, does that
yes.
mean that they actually start ovulating again, or are they just
no.
having a period?
They're just having a period. A woman has every egg she's ever going to produce before she's born. Okay, when she's
yeah,
about
that-
6 months along, she has, on average, about 2 million eggs in her ovaries. Hmm. By birth,
oh.
that's down to about 400,000.
Oh.
And then those eggs stay in storage until she hits puberty and develops her uterus and ovaries and vagina to the point that she can have a baby. And by then, she's down to less than 100,000 eggs. The others have all died because they've been in storage now for 13, 14 years. Okay. And so by the time a woman is 40 years old, she has lost the vast majority of her eggs, and the ones she's had that are still there have been in storage for 40 years. And so the risk of birth defects has risen dramatically. And the older the woman is, even if she gets pregnant, she's getting pregnant with really old eggs. And the risks of things going wrong and having miscarriages or birth defects is significantly higher. So in women in late reproductive life, okay, and late reproductive life different from late life period, because they'll live a long time after they're no longer able to reproduce. These ladies always need to have genetic testing done on the baby so they know in advance what's going on. Okay, I mean, if they get a choice, of course, in this, especially in this state, do they want to carry the baby to term or not? But at least you know what's coming.
Right.
You know, so my last child was born when I was 65 and my wife was 35. So, you know, she was up there for her first baby. In fact, any woman over 30 who is having their first baby, they are referred to as an elderly primip.
Really?
Yes. So you're elderly at 30 when it comes to reproduction.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now with women putting off childbearing and marriage until much later in life, fertility rates are down.
Mm. Right.
You know, women born and raised in America are not having enough babies to reproduce themselves. So if we depended on American women to have babies for America's population to continue, we would die out. We're actually less than replacement values because not every child lives long enough to reproduce. And not every child is heterosexual. We have about 2% of the population is or referred to as obligate homosexual, that is only interested in the same sex. And then you've got a much larger percentage that can go either way depending on circumstances. And then you've got the obligate heterosexual. The result of this is that birth rates have been dropping and dropping and dropping. And if it weren't for immigration, the population of America would be getting smaller and smaller every year.
Mm.
China is in that situation. Their population is actually shrinking because they were dumb enough for 20 years to make a law saying that every family could only have one child. Well, if every couple, every two people can only make one person, you're guaranteed your population's going downhill fast. Yeah. And because in China specifically, there was a strong predilection, a preference for male children. Mm. When they're only going to have one baby, they were aborting about half or more of the females. So they only actually ended up with one possible fertile female out of four people. This says terrible things for their future because guess what? Nobody wants to immigrate to China.
Well,
we could double our population if we just, you know, finish opening the borders up north as well as to the south. But
well, that actually concerns me a little bit because now they have an entire generation of young men running around over there with nothing to do.
Yeah. Well, actually, what's happening is they are going to Cambodia and Laos, that are even poorer communist countries than China, and importing wives from there, which is not making the men down in Cambodia and Laos happy.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I am a big booster of immigration. Obviously, my wife is an immigrant. And the reality
is... Legal immigration.
Yeah, but legal. I want to be able to pick who we get. You know,
right.
we only need so many people that are poorly educated and poorly skilled. That's just the real world.
Yeah, they can't read or write or anything, yeah.
Well, but on the other hand, you know, if I were in charge of American immigration... I'm going to delve into Jerry's politics here for a second. If I were in charge of American immigration, here would be my policy. First of all, I'd say, no, we do not turn it over to the drug cartels to bring people in, because that's what we've done. We've effectively turned our southern border over to the drug cartels to say, you guys choose who comes to America. I'd go ahead and build the wall. I'd say, as Mr. Trump said, we're going to have a big, tall wall, but we're going to have great big gates in it so that anybody who wants to come in legally will have a way. And then I'd say, we're going to pick the 500 top universities on the planet. And anybody who graduates in the top half of these 500 universities, welcome to America. And go ahead and let the other countries educate our population. And then we'll bring them all over here and steal their talent. After all, I'm not in charge of France and Germany and Spain. I'd be in charge of America, and so I want America first. So, yes, I let the rest of the world, and we'll take their best and their brightest, and welcome to America. That would be my way. But what the heck? I'm not in charge.
I thought maybe that would help. Help some of the women be able to have babies if you could do that.
Unfortunately. Now, we can. Older women, even after menopause, can have babies, but they have to be a surrogate. Often their daughter or granddaughter will donate an egg. And we can fertilize the egg, put it in their uterus, in the older woman's uterus, and by giving her then appropriate hormonal support to support the pregnancy, even women in their 60s have had babies. But they're having babies with eggs from younger women.
Yes. I want to be clear that we don't do that at our clinic.
No, we don't do it.
So when our patients come to us, about 35 to 50 as women, maybe they're having some fertility issues. Often it's thyroid or imbalance of progesterone, and not enough is happening to maintain a healthy pregnancy. And we can definitely help with that. So we do actually have to worry about birth control in some of our patients who might suddenly become fertile when they haven't been fertile for some time.
That's true.
And then our older patients past menopause, sometimes we can bring back a cycle intentionally or unintentionally. They're highly unlikely to become fertile by mistake because that takes a lot more than a little bit of hormone replacement. But to be clear, we don't do the fertility therapy. We don't do the in vitro or the transferals. And if people do need advanced help with that, they'll have to go to a fertility specialist.
But we've got folks we can refer to them if that's their issue. But, yeah, you know, most American women – by the time they're in their 60s, don't want a period back. You know, they say,
by the time they're 50,
they
don't either.
Yeah, they say, we're done. Well, my wife is now pushing 50 because I'm pushing 80, and she's decided she doesn't want to go through menopause. She wants to keep her period and keep her 30-year-old body.
Okay, well, thanks for the show.
Okay, thanks, Glenn. That opens up a line for you listening today, 206-644-6006. Call in with your questions now. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. Doctor standing by to take your call today, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and special guest this week, Dr. Brazel, all talking to you this morning. If you call us at 206-644-6006, we have a call from Timothy in Seattle with a question about calcium and mobility. What's the specific questions here, Timothy? Good morning.
Hello, doctors.
Hello.
I spoke to you about 2 months ago, roughly. The reason I say roughly is I didn't start taking records back then, but I did at the first of last month. What I was doing was I was told by my doctor that I should take these pills called rosuvastatin calcium, if I pronounce that correctly, 10 milligrams because of high LDL.
Right.
And what I did was I started taking those faithfully every day in the morning. And after talking to you, I decided I was going to start walking vigorously. It's about 1.85 miles per day every day. Yeah, I've missed a couple days in there, but I mean they're few and far in between. Now, with that background, what I'm coming to you with a question like this. Do you know of a thing called the Pinocchio effect?
Nose growth. Yeah.
Yeah, but Pinocchio's famous words were, fortunately, it's not just my nose. And I noticed that this old boy is waking up. I'm, by the way, almost 69. So I've been waking up in the morning and going, holy smokes, where'd that thing come from? Because it hasn't been for, I don't know.
So an old friend is back.
20 years,
okay.
It seems like it started slowing down, and I really have been fairly sedentary in my lifestyle, but now I'm kind of getting addicted to this walking every day, and I'm wondering if you think it's because of this badly mispronounced drug or if it's because of the walking every day.
I think it's probably a combination. Okay, let's talk a little. This is a gentleman who has regained his morning erections. And and it's not uncommon as men age, you know, erections get fewer and fewer and further between. 50% of men by age 50 have some degree of erectile dysfunction. They may still have an erection, but the quality gets worse and worse, and eventually they stop. And those spontaneous morning erections, triggered primarily by the fact that your bladder is about full, and that puts stretch on the penile nerves. The penile nerves go across the bladder, and a full bladder causes those nerves to get a little stretch and stimulation, and that then triggers your erection in the morning. Okay, so you know, young men are very sensitive to that. Older men usually not so much, but the statins have an anti-inflammatory effect. They decrease inflammation. And inflammation is part of the killer for male erections. The other thing is exercise not only decreases inflammation, but it raises testosterone production. Working muscle produces things that help to raise your testosterone level. What people don't realize is fat and muscle are two very different opposing forces that are at war in your body. Okay. Fat produces compounds that increase inflammation, increase cancer, increase dementia, increase osteoporosis, increase joint degeneration, increase depression. Muscle, now we know, produces more than 300 different compounds. It's a working muscle is a very active gland that produces things that help you to grow new brain tissue, new peripheral nerves. It cleans out your arteries. It lowers your blood pressure. It makes your kidneys work better. It helps your testosterone level to rise, and it improves your libido and your sex drive. So, you know, count your blessings and see if you can move some of that walk up to a little bit of a jog once in a while. Okay.
Really? Only jog. Okay.
Yeah, sure. Walk as fast as is comfortable. But, you know, then when you feel good enough, jog, even if it's only 5 or 6 seconds. Take a little jog step for a bit and then slow down to walk. And then when you're comfortable, jog a little more. You may find that over several months of doing this, you get to the point that you're jogging more than you're walking. And that's even better. Okay? So don't push it. Don't hurt yourself. But take advantage of every bit of increased strength and energy you've got, because it feeds on itself. The more those muscles work, the more benefit you're going to get. We call these myokines. The more myokines you will produce from working muscle, and that'll make you healthier.
Thank you for that encouragement. I'll take your word for it.
Okay. Why do you think I'm out on the trail miles and miles every day of my life?
Oh, yeah, I guess.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Timothy. That opened up the line for you at 206-644-6006. Taking your calls, and we have another call from Michelle in Lake Union. And what is your question for the doctors today, Michelle?
Hello, how are you? I talked to you last week also.
Hey,
okay, my question is, my son just told me that certain food are going to be lowering is, I don't know how to say that, testosterone.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, and he said bread, soy, pasta, and black licorice, which in our family we eat a lot of, okay? And I wanted to ask you if this is true. I don't know where he read that, on the internet or something. Who knows?
Okay.
But I wanted to ask you that because you're always talking about testosterone.
Testosterone, okay. Well,
yeah.
None of those foods directly lower testosterone levels, but what they do is they raise sugar levels. These are simple carbohydrates that are rapidly turned into glucose and raise your blood sugar, which in turn raises your insulin. Okay. And the rising blood sugar and the rising insulin will shift his metabolism towards fat. And the fat lowers the testosterone. All right. The fat, male fat has an enzyme in it called aromatase that converts testosterone into estrogen. And so overweight men usually cause their testosterone to go down and their estrogen to go up. And that's why they start getting increased breasts size. We call them moobs, man boobs, okay?
Man boobs. Well, my son's very trim, and he works out every day, and he's, oh, my God, he's all muscle. But, you know, he's out in the field, and so he, you know, he's always worried about his testosterone.
Yes. Well, tell him that as long as he's working out good, he's probably going to do just fine. Get rid of the body fat. As long as he stays lean and has good muscle mass, he's going to make plenty of testosterone.
Okay, so that was the thing. So is that why I gain weight? Because I eat licorice. Bread.
Licorice.
Well, I think it's more the bread than the licorice, my dear. I do worry about the licorice a bit because black licorice raises blood pressure. So
red licorice?
Black, no, that's just sugar.
Yeah. Oh. Red licorice is just candy. That's okay. Not real licorice. Oh. But real licorice that comes from the licorice root, the real stuff, raises blood pressure.
Hmm. Okay. I know. So,
perhaps a little of the sugar with that as well, with the cortisol.
Yep.
So why do people use black licorice? Just
it tastes good.
Oh, it does.
And it gives them an energy hit. It actually is a mildly psychoactive psychostimulant.
It's Scandinavians are raised on salt licorice.
Oh, really? Okay. Interesting.
No, I've been raised on licorice. I mean, I've had licorice my whole life, but red licorice is not licorice, you know.
No, no. Red licorice is just candy.
Specifically fructose.
Yeah. Bread, I'm, you know, descending from France, and me without bread and cheese, I cannot survive.
Oh, I understand. I understand. In fact, my mother used to have a saying, a meal without cheese is like a kiss without a squeeze. So.
A lot of squeezing in there.
You know, my cardiologist tells me, oh, no, no, you go ahead. You eat your cheese and your bread. It's okay. I'm 80 years old, okay? So I just like, okay, I got to cut off the cheese and the bread. I might as well die. You know, I mean.
Eat the cheese. Eat the
cheese. High-quality cheese in small amounts is a joy.
That's right.
I think it's the cheap stuff they put on everything we can get rid of and save ourselves a lot of calories.
I love a good sharp cheese. I have cheese in my omelets every morning. You know, if you follow me around the office, you'll see me stopping by the kitchen. If I get a case of the munchies, I reach in the fridge and I grab myself a little piece of cheese. And that's my midday cheat.
My mother lived to be 103. Okay.
All right.
She never had anything. I'm having things all the time. She's never had anything.
Okay.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you, my dear.
That opens up a line for you. If you're listening today, call in your medical questions now at 206-644-6006. We'll be back with Ken from Kirkland in just a moment. This is Leading Edge Medicine, back in just a few moments. Doing the jig here in the studio, and your calls at 206-644-6006, Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Mixon, Dr. Umat, and Dr. Brazel in studio today. We'll get to more calls in just a moment. Dr. Brazel, you wanted to add something to a previous call that we had.
Oh, so we had a previous patient talking about the rosuvastatin and the unexpected morning activity, and of course that's blood flow. And as I like to talk to my patients so much about cardiovascular health, it's one of my primary focuses. We focus on hormones, but hormones aren't going to do you very much good if your heart isn't working. People focus on heart disease, but they forget the cardiovascular component is your blood vessels everywhere in the body. And that can be in your carotid arteries. It can be your brain. It can be obviously in the penile artery that we're talking about, or in the renal artery where we're getting little blockages causing chronic kidney disease. So I think of every artery as being something important, not just the big one, the aorta, or the little ones in the heart that, you know, can be life-changing events. So we focus a lot on that with our cardiovascular testing, and we can get into details if people want. But one of our new tests we've added at clinic is the nitric oxide test. It's a saliva test. It takes just a couple minutes for our patients that come in regularly. It's now part of their panel. There's no extra charge. We can do it in the office right in front of me, or if they come in for their blood draw, it'll be added to the panel. And you can know, do I make enough nitric oxide? Nitric oxide is the precursor to what we need to make our arteries relax. Back to the unexpected morning activity, but also blood flow for exercise and blood pressure. And we can see, do you make enough to keep your blood vessels flexible for all of this dynamic activity?
Hmm. Yep, and it's a great thing to test, and it's, again, it's fast, it's easy, and we just kind of throw it in with our testing for our patients.
That's right. Yeah. And then if you're low, we'll read it immediately and we'll know how to help you, because we have nitric oxide, either chewable tablets or capsules available in the clinic. And then we repeat, right? We measure again to see if they're working for you.
So where would you want to know is, is my plan that I've been on working enough for me in this category? Now we can know directly. Is this working? Mm-hmm. And then we can say, I'll tell you what, next time I see you in 2 months, we'll put you on something. Did we correct it enough? And then we can adjust that. And I've had a few patients who've done so well on their plan that they came out of the gate making enough of it. They were at optimal levels. And then we know that that's not something they need to worry about. But that's a major driver of heart disease, which all of us have to worry about, whether or not we have a cancer risk or something else. We all have to worry about this today.
Well, to find out more about those tests or other the free health analysis appointments, you can call and book that appointment right now at 866-86-YOUNG, 866-86-YOUNG. And you can also schedule your appointment at lmclinic.com, clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and Linwood. Moving on to calls. We're not moving on to a call yet?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, Dr. Brazel sees some of our health analysis patients. And Dr. Brazel, would you like to talk about your experience as they come in for a free visit and how you manage them? What do you do when you see them? What are your expectations? And how do you help these people as they come in for their free visit?
Oh, excellent. So our health analysis is my first point of contact with a patient most of the time. So this is a patient who might be new to the clinic entirely. They heard about us on the radio, like you guys might be now, or they were referred by a friend or family member who's been going here. Every once in a while, it's a spouse of a patient who already knows us a little bit and wants to take the next step. So they come in, the patient will have there with the medical assistant, we'll do a finger stick test, which is for the hemoglobin A1C, and that gives us a sense of your rough average blood sugars and diabetic risk. And then the in-body machine, you stand on it and gives us a picture of the body composition, muscle, fat, extracellular water, kind of where you think you are versus where you want to be. We can talk about what the different sections mean. But the most important part of that conversation is what brought the patient in, and that's between me and the patient. So you can fill out a lot of paperwork and check a lot of boxes, but what brings people to us is something is missing. Something's missing in their life that they think should be there. Something's missing in their medical care from another provider that just isn't being addressed. That their picture isn't complete. And the conversation with me or Dr. Pentland or Dr. Gazura, Dr. Riabikina, Dr. Jimenez, and Dr. Prochaska is what would bring someone to go to the next level of care where they invest in their future, which means what can I change instead of waiting for someone to figure out what I need to do after it's already a problem. And we can't get to all of those answers, but we can start the conversation and get the questions going. When I talk to the patient about what we have to offer, we discuss the relevancy of their blood sugar test to what concerns they might have, heart disease, diabetic risk, dementia risk, cancer risk. I don't have enough energy. I can't build muscles. We look at body composition. Do I have enough muscle to burn fat? Even if I wanted to lose weight, am I strong enough to go on an exercise program before maybe adjusting with some hormones? That gives us a sense of what they need to focus on that day. And then for our patients that decide to continue with the screening test, we may or may not offer something called the glucola test. Glucola is a 75-gram dose of glucose. It's not fructose. It's glucose. And when you drink it, about 30 minutes later when we do the blood draw, we get a lot of information from your body about insulin resistance, triglycerides. And that, of course, is part of your cholesterol panel, and that goes to cardiovascular risk, diabetic risk. And now we know a lot of it goes to cancer risk because cancers that are most common, like breast and prostate, are a little bit more metabolic. We think of them as hereditary, but that's about 5% of them. Most of them are related to lifestyle factors, and higher blood sugars and insulin resistance is the primary driver of cancer, as well as cardiovascular disease, and then dementia for many of our patients. So that we don't give people that drink if they're already diabetic or their numbers are a little too close, because we don't want them to get sick from a test that we can help them with anyway, but it can reveal a lot of information you might not know. Like, I have a lot of insulin resistance, although my blood sugars look normal, my liver doesn't handle it very well. And that's where the visceral fat starts to build up, all the inflammation markers. Dr. Mixon's been talking about the rising insulin causing blood vessel damage and heart disease and risk. And then they get a sense of what they got to focus on. And if they want to come back to us, we can help figure out which pathway they've got to focus on first. Because everyone wants to feel good, but how you're going to get there is figuring out the thing you have to solve that you might not know you have to solve.
Okay, again, to find out more, find out about some of these tests, call 866-86-YOUNG. You can also schedule an appointment at lmclinic.com. Getting back to some questions here real quick, we have looks like Ken in Kirkland has a question about the smoke in the air. And is that your question, Ken? What's up?
Yeah, exactly. This Sunday or Monday, they're talking about us seeing some low-level forest fire smoke like we haven't seen since last year. And I was just wondering if any of these KN95 masks we have kicking around the house would do us any good, or whether those are totally inappropriate for the particle sizes that we're talking about.
Now, for the smoke, they'll help a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, the smoke has a wide variety of particle sizes because it's all kinds of different ash. But generally, it's larger than a virus. So a properly fitted KN95, yes. But you got to make sure that, you know, you're breathing through the mask, not around the mask.
Sure. Okay. Well, good.
So, very good use of them.
Yeah, I will.
All right.
I hope I don't have to.
Okay. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll maybe start this question here with Jane next in Mount Vernon. Jane, you have a question about AFib. Jane, what's happening?
Yes.
What's your question for the doctors?
Yes, I had AFib diagnosed last year, about a year ago, and I had another event in the end of June and had to go to the hospital, ER, and they did a cardioversion, and now the doctors are recommending an ablation, and I just wondered if you had any suggestions or opinions about that.
Well, yes, we got a lot of opinions and suggestions about that, but here they've got the music, so we're going to have to take a break here in about another 40 seconds or so.
Okay, Jane, we will be back with answers to these questions after the top of the hour break. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinic. Call in your questions at 206-644-6006. We'll be back with Jane's question from Mount Vernon in just a few moments. Also, looks like a Jack in Federal Way. He has a question as well. Call in your questions, 206-644-6006. This is Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics.